Hey, this is Jen Vix, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey everybody, what is up? How you doing? How you living? How's it hanging? What's going on? Aloha. Hello. What's up out there? Welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. I know it's been a week. We took a week off. That's my fault, Mike. That's my fault, but it's good to be back, surrounded by friends and family and listeners in this warm environment. Welcome to the show, Mike.
I mean, if you want to get super technical, the audience already got an episode today, so they have no clue what you mean about we missed a week.
No, we did. I didn't put one out last week. They had two.
Well, that's 2 weeks ago, but not. Sorry, you don't come back.
That's true.
You don't say 2 weeks after the fact, oh, by the way, sorry about missing that.
That's true. They do have zero idea what I'm talking about. But generally, that's kind of that's kind of par for the course as far as this podcast goes anyway. So
that is true. It's like a new story every week. We just keep on making sequels. There's no continuation from week to week.
But anyway, it does feel like we have been gone for a while. I know personally it feels like it's been a while since we did this, and it really only has been 2 weeks, but it just does feel like anytime we take a week off, it does feel like a long time, especially since sometimes we get those scattered interviews throughout the week too, where there's multiple times or we got to pick up things. But to go like a legit 2 weeks off, it feels like a long time here. But it's good to be back. I was moving homes. So even if we tried last week, I had no Wi-Fi. No internet hookup to even do the podcast. So we wouldn't have even been able to see each other or talk to each other. So it probably would have been our highest rated episode.
It's been the best ever. I mean, the numbers have been huge around the world. You got to listen to this. They don't do anything. I mean, I know normally when I tell you about the show, they don't do anything, but this time they literally don't do anything.
Their latest episode titled White Noise was amazing. Amazing.
So suspenseful. I'm like, when are they going to come? When's the intro? And then it just stops. I'm like, oh, that's tension.
So I did the whole moving thing, and if you've been a long-time listener, you've heard me say this phrase. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 times. Four. Already.
Yeah.
4 times. I moved from my old place back to my parents' place. We podcasted from my parents for about 5 months, maybe?
Basement episodes, classic.
Yep, it'd be nice. You'd just show up. My parents would be finishing up dinner. Burlo would just blast through the door and be like, I'm here, baby.
I just kicked down the door like the Kool-Aid man. What's up? Burlo invasion, kiddies!
They're like, there's no kids here, but Scott's downstairs.
Yeah, I would get the shotgun out, and I'd start laughing, and then he'd keep missing me, and I'll be like, I'll see you next week, Mr. Brennan.
Scott's downstairs. There's no kids here, but so, yeah, I moved from there. Then I moved to a small place, and then then you moved away in between there. Then I moved to an even smaller place.
And if you want to get technical, I moved to my parents, then in turn moved to my actual home.
True. And now me and the wife, we purchased a place here in Denville, New Jersey. I'm not going to give you the address because I don't want all the fan mail just filling up my box and the paparazzi hanging around outside, the new neighbors getting kind of weird about it.
You need to purchase tickets for live recordings of the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. Everybody knows that.
So even like today, I
You could see me now, but before we started, I realized there's no light switches in this room. It's just lamps. So I had, and we don't have enough lamps yet. So like, there's two rooms that are just kind of dark. I'm like, ah, crap! Like I like run downstairs, and it's always typical fashion. I'm finishing cooking dinner or eating dinner, always with like 5 minutes before we have to do our interview or whatnot. So I'm like running down to get the lamp, and I'm like, oh crap! And then I have to plug in the lamp, and then of course the wife comes home and she's like, where's the lamp? Where's the lamp from the living room? I really like that lamp. And I'm like, well, I'm going to use it right now. Let me use the lamp. Like, don't give me any lip about the lamp.
That's not a podcast lamp. That's a living room lamp.
Shut up. I don't care if your dead grandmother gave it to you. I need to talk to Berlu about stuff.
So, needless to say, I'm still adjusting. I just finished setting up the stuff, and I might even move it to a different place next week. So I don't know. Maybe I'll broadcast from a different part of the house each week. You know, I'm in the toilet, I'm in the bathroom, in the shower. You know, where is Scott? Oh, this crazy guy.
Put on a striped sweater and all. Everybody's got to find you.
Right.
It'd be perfect.
Yeah. See, you get me.
Yeah. Shower cast thing's been the dream. Once we hit 250, we knew anything was possible.
Or we need to start trying something. It was one of the two. But moving,
the only live podcast done in separate showers. Verbal Shenanigans.
So we moving. I'm so over moving. God willing, we're in this place for a good chunk of time. You know, it's not a big place. By any means, the community I live in, there's a lot of smaller houses because I kind of live in this lake community, as I've talked about many times on this podcast, and really love the, like, part of moving into a house around here is moving into that community. So you got to picture, like, yeah, it's a smaller house, but I do get this other option that is like pretty big, you know. There's a whole lake thing, lake vibe, and as you know, we got the men's club, you know, all these great things that I am now part of.
Telling stories about your time in Lake Patrol.
That's it, Lake Patrol. Yeah. That was a different lake, but maybe I could be on Lake Patrol here. You never know, I got a resume now.
That is true, that there is that one member of your community that yells at you, that's our lake, stop talking about that lake. That lake sucks.
Yeah. But moving is just, it's just soul taking. It's the worst. Every time you move, you just think about, why do I keep any of this? But at the same time, you go, I can't throw that away. You look at shirts you have that you haven't worn in 6 years, but you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe Friday's the night I'll bust out this old polo here. That
the Hartford Whalers could come back.
I do have a Hartford Whalers jersey somewhere. I used to collect hockey jerseys as a kid. Now I'm almost down to wearing no jerseys. I'll rock a soccer jersey every once in a while, and then maybe like the hockey jersey at a Devils game, but I never ever put on like a hockey jersey and just wear it around anymore.
No. You're not like the old goon from WWF. You remember him?
Yeah, roughly. But
his old gimmick was just, oh, he got thrown out of hockey because he got too many penalties, and then he would lose to everybody.
So, of course, the week we decide to move, it's 8 million degrees here in New Jersey. Hitting 96, 97. It's just brutal. I feel like I have been sweating and moving things just for weeks straight because, of course, at the same time, my brother decides that he is also moving to a house that is kind of around the corner from him. So, of course, I got to go over there. And let me tell you something. When you have a pickup truck, you are automatically everybody's best friend.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
You are just, hey, and when you're like a semi-nice person like myself, you just feel guilty right away, and you're like, okay, yeah, I'll come over with the truck. And then one truckload is not even a real thing because it's always, hey, let's load this truck up. We got a couple things. Like yesterday, we're taking apart my niece and nephew's gigantic place, like swing set. Like, but it's huge. It's got a tire swing and a little rock wall. And we got to take it apart board by board. My father's there, and he's 70 years old, sweat. Like, it was just truckload after truckload after truckload. And then, of course, the house my brother is buying, the steps are, like, remember my old driveway?
Oh, of course.
But he has steps that go to beautiful lakefront property, but steps that go down like 26 steps. So just bringing anything into the house is like, it's awful.
Every attempt at bringing something in, you're praying you don't break your ankles, basically.
Pretty much. Like, at least my old driveway, at least was a driveway with a car, whereas this is, you got to use your feet every single time. So, so that was not fun. And we've been moving nonstop. And then, of course, the first night in my house, we were lucky enough, four of our friends from the neighborhood, like, came, like, they actually, like, forced us to let them help, almost. Like, hey, we're going to come over and help. Hey, we're going to, because we've been kind of, like, hanging out every weekend. It's kind of easy. We've been just hanging out by the beach or whatever. And this is the guy with the boat. Also, if you have a boat, you are also everybody's best friend.
Yeah, of course.
But I will hang out with a, like, if I don't like you and you have a boat, I might like you for an hour or two. Like, you've gone up a notch. Now, this is not the case with that guy, but I'm saying I could tolerate people a lot more if they got a boat.
See, I'm getting a vision of a TV series where this, like, nerdy kid, he doesn't know what to do in life, and his friend just convinced him to buy a pickup and a boat, and every week is the adventures of why he would have a friend over that weekend.
This is the second week in a row you've created a TV series / movie about a scenario that's gone. Last week was Obie's Beach, the dog beach,
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to figure there's so many streaming services, there's so many cable channels. Somebody's listening who's going to throw me money.
Well, not only
that. It's about time.
Not only that, after last week, hearing some of your early writings, I think that you're being inspired. I think
McMillan Island, a classic.
I think that there's a little creative juices that have been awakened in Merlo, and something needs to be written.
You know, with the wife buying all this Disney stuff, maybe I can call him and be like, listen, I know you're trying to get another Pirates movie out there. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about Pirates of the Caribbean, McMillan Island?
And if you have no clue what Burliff's talking about, we'll have to bust out another story maybe when we close this show tonight. But he found an old journal from like fifth grade or something like that, and it's got filled with stories that we're gonna get to hear a bunch of. So if you tuned in last episode, you heard all about McMillan Island.
Yes.
Nate McMillan Island.
Yeah, the story of the guy who found an island with nothing on it, and he just said, okay, I'm going to live on it.
Yeah, the story kind of lacked a little. We broke it down. some plot points. Not much struggle for McMillan. He kind of just found an island and lived there.
Hey, when Mr. Stewart tells you it's two pages max, you can't really get into details. I can't get into McMillan's backstory. I just know he wants to live on a private island.
Well, it was an epic tale, and I can't wait to hear what we got later on in the show today. But we'll save that towards the end. You know, you got to leave listeners wanting,
exactly,
wanting more. But yeah, so of course the first night, I moved in on Monday and we got the bed set up and whatnot. So we're like, we're going to spend the night here. We weren't being pressured from our landlords to get out. So we did have some time. So we were able to take another day or two to get the other remaining stuff. But I had worked in the morning outside for like 4 or 5 hours. Then we closed, and then I spent like the other 7 hours moving stuff in. And of course in 96 degree weather. So I don't know. We go to lay down. I dropped the guy off that was helping me, and I'm just feeling nauseous, and then go to lay down, and it feels just like all of a sudden I got like the bed spins, like, and I'm just like, ugh. So I just get up, 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night, first night in the house. I puke like 4 or 5 times. I got diarrhea like 4 or 5 times. Welcome to the new house.
I mean, that's how you break in a house. Anytime I get to a new place, I'm like, you better prepare. Stuff is coming out of my body. You just got to take it and get used to it. This is going to be a long journey, my friend.
So anytime you go somewhere new, you just...
Yes. The landlord gave me kind of a look when I got my apartment, but I'm like, you got to understand what you agreed upon, so...
But if I'm correct, it doesn't. You're not just solely to where you live. I heard it's just where you travel too. Like, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Disney hates me. They just purely. I went into every park, man. I'm talking the Magic Kingdom. I'm talking about Epcot. I'm talking about Disney Springs, the Animal Kingdom. They thought like a rhinoceros got loose. Nope, that was Burloo just
so
breaking in the new park.
So if you and the wife are going away for like one night. You call ahead to the hotel and you're like, what's your puke policy?
I mean, sometimes I like to, you know, I have this Yelp system, which it's not really on the conditions of the place I go to. It's on the conditions of handling my bodily fluids when they come out. So
this is horrendous.
I
mean,
I think Animal Kingdom got a 3-star. They were pretty good about it, but you know. But that time I went up to Cooperstown, New York, 1-star. Those Hall of Famers did not understand what I was doing up there.
And then you read the reviews after you stay there, and it's like, oh, my God, it still it smells horrible in here. There's stains everywhere.
Oddly enough, when people go to Yelp after my review, all of them get 1-stars. It's right. Just, I think it's a wild coincidence. I feel they should bring me back more often to get their numbers up. But, I mean, that's just my philosophy on life, Scott. I mean, I'm a man of different tastes.
That is certain. We can certainly say that with confidence here. But anyway, so I moved in. We're back into regular radio, if you will. Or podcast with you, Will, so we will be. I'm sorry we skipped a week. I apologize. But if you're just tuning in, this is Verbal Shenanigans. I'm Scott. That's Mike down there. And what we do weekly is we play some stupid games, talk about life, talk about observations, and then we always bring on an interesting guest to break up the monotony of us talking to one another here. So, Burlo, two things have been making me really, really happy lately.
Am I one of them?
No. One of them.
Darn it.
Now, I have never really succumbed to, I'm a beer guy. It's pretty, you know, I love craft beer. I love beer, all different types of beer. I love tasting beer. I have beer tastings with people. I love craft breweries. And I've never really been a mixed drink person, really.
Okay.
I like them. I like them, but I never make them for myself is what I'm saying. I never like remember the one time we went to watch the fight and we made like you made this pineapple mojito. Like that was great, but it's just like not something you would, I wouldn't do like on a nightly thing. Like I wouldn't be like, oh, I got to go home and make it. Cause it's just effort, you know, like beer is like we reach in the fridge and grab it. But
yeah, I get what you're saying, but continue on with your story.
And I don't really like any girly drinks per se. Like I'd never liked the iced teas. I never liked the Smirnoff ice. I mean, I liked them when I was 14 or 15 or whatever the first time I drank was. They were available.
Clearly, you were in Europe at the time because it's illegal in the United States that age.
So. I actually remember that. I'll never forget, like, me and my one friend, we made his brother get us Smirnoff ices, and we're like, yeah, this is. And then, like, a couple guys were drinking beer. We're like, ew, man. Like, we got to drink the real stuff, like Smirnoff ice. But I got to say, lately, and I guess maybe because it's hot and people have had them lately and they're wildly popular. Have you had these spiked seltzers as I'm holding it up?
I have not had one yet. I have seen them, but I haven't partaked in any of them.
I got to say, Mike, and don't worry, they're not sponsoring us. I know you guys are probably surprised by that. But this Bon and Viv, okay, that's the company, just spiked seltzer. It just tastes like a... I mean, I drink seltzer basically all day long. Like, it's the only other thing I drink besides water and coffee. The spiked seltzer just tastes like almost just like a seltzer. And there's no sugars in it. There's no carbs in it. Calories, only 90 calories, which is pretty low for an alcoholic beverage. Like, just very refreshing, cold. And it just feels like everywhere I've been going lately, someone's been busting out these things. And I'm like, all right, I'll try it. And I'm fine. I have an alternative to beer now. It took 20 years, but there's something else I enjoy drinking that comes from a can.
After all those years of Smirnoff ice, you finally saw the light, is what you're telling everybody.
Well, the last time
you were yelling at everybody, man, I'm not going to drink any of that stuff. And then one day somebody came around with an ice cold seltzer and they said, no, Scott, you have to try this. And then just mind blown.
Well, I mean, picture like if you've ever had just a vodka and seltzer, like a vodka club with a lime. Mm. It's a pretty refreshing drink, very easy to make. This is just like very simple, only 4.5% alcohol. I got to say, for once, one of the alcohol trends that's going on, I am actually in favor of. These things are pretty good. They're pretty good. And sometimes, like if you're drinking beer and you don't want to like you know, you pack on if you drink a bunch of IPAs every day, you're going to be packing on calories like no other. So I got to say, bro, you got to go get a case of this and report back to me next week.
Like next week, I have a deadline to drink a bunch of alcohol seltzers.
I didn't say you have to drink the case, but you got to – okay, get the variety –
that sounds like a shenanigans showdown challenge for me, Scott.
Get the variety pack. There's 12 of them and have one of each. Four different kinds. Try each one. I think you will enjoy them.
I feel we should contact the seltzer company and let them know what we're about to try here. Okay. They got to know we are taste testing them. So when they get the good word, they know, all right, now we can flash them cash.
I'm just saying, dude, you're the one missing out. I'm just enlightening you that this is something to try. Got it. So that's one thing that's been making me happy. I haven't had an alternative to beer in 20 years. Like, I've just been a beer guy forever. So
you go to a party.
Right.
And you got IPAs on one hand, and you have seltzers on the other. Where are you grabbing?
I'm grabbing an IPA still, but, okay. Mm. So beer will always be my first love, okay? I'm just saying that maybe
more than the wife, I agree. Continue.
Right, definitely. I'm saying if I had 2-3 IPAs at a party and I started feeling a little like kind of full, and in that cooler was an ice cold Bon and Viv spiked seltzer, I might grab it. I know some people like those Trulies and White Claws. There's a bunch of them in the stores, but I think for once that this might be something that's here to stay and it's really easy drinking and it's highly recommended by me.
You're growing, Scott. You have a wife now. You have a new home and you're seeing light for spiked seltzers.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I just need you to go to the store and then report back to me on the, you know what? Maybe like, do you got to mow the lawn this week? Do you have a lawn to mow this week? How's the grass looking this week?
Usually this is the second weekend, so yeah, that's usually when we do the mowing.
Okay, so probably going to be a little hot down in Georgia, I'd assume.
We've actually been cooler than you guys.
Okay. Well,
you guys are in that close 100-degree weather.
Burlew, play along. It's probably going to be hot down in Georgia, I would assume.
Oh, I didn't know we were improvising here. Yes, you are correct. Correct.
Well, I assume just Georgia generally has some heat, right? It's generally pretty pretty
hot
warm.
That's more of a rib on the city.
Okay, so you got a lawn to mow. Maybe you got some yard work to do, some flowers to plant. Oh. I want you. So you I assume you're going to mow it on Saturday or Sunday, correct?
Usually Saturdays.
All right. Yeah. So Friday night, I want you to go get that case of that spiked seltzer and put it in the fridge. Get it nice and cold for Saturday. Okay. I want you to jump on that lawnmower. You have a ride-on lawnmower, right?
That is correct. Okay. Yep. The father helped me fix the wheel on it this weekend. So thank you, Pops. He's listening.
All right. I want you to strap on to that lawnmower. I want you to buckle yourself in because I assume you fall out. Does your lawnmower have a cup holder on it?
It does not, but I can hold it between my legs. You know, okay. I am capable of doing two things at once.
Okay. And I want you to go into that fridge, okay, and I want you to grab yourself whatever flavor you might like. Now, this variety pack, let's see. It came with pear elderflower, clementine hibiscus.
Manly.
And I know there's a cranberry and a grapefruit in there. So if out of those four, which one would you choose? Now, there are other flavors, but
yeah.
The last two, I'm not fond of grapefruit or cranberry, I'm probably going to go with the pear.
Okay, so you're going to go grab, you're going to reach your hand into that ice-cold fridge, and you're going to grab yourself a pear elderflower. You're going to have your sweet lawn-mowing outfit on, which I assume is like cut-off jeans.
It's a white beater with shorts, and usually when I sweat, it just
Timberland boots, see-through. Timberland boots.
Absolutely.
And you're just going to mow that lawn. And you're just, you know what? A quarter way through the lawn when you know you got a couple minutes to go, maybe you got a podcast on in your ears. Maybe you're listening to something good. You know, like other comparable podcasts to ours, according to iTunes, like the Joe Rogan Experience, Verbal Shenanigans, Bill Burr, you know, very, very similar type podcast.
All even podcasts. Continue.
And you're just going to crack yourself that pear elderflower. And you're going to take a sip and you're going to. You're just going to take it in. You're going to appreciate life. And you're going to say, I'm not taking in any sugars. I'm not taking in any carbs. I'm just having a beverage on a hot day. You're going to finish mowing that lawn. Right around when you finish mowing the lawn, you're going to finish your first can. You're going to walk inside. You're going to crack that second can. And you're going to make sweet, passionate love to your wife. And you're going to be like, this is so good. And you're going to have a new outlook on life.
I'll videotape all this, including the making love to Izzy. Continue.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
I thought there was a payoff to all this.
There is a payoff. You just made sweet, passionate love. What more of a payoff do you need?
Well, I probably would have done the same thing with the beer in my system to her. I mean,
well,
I'm guessing I would do that.
Well,
I
mean, she's going to say, Mike, you don't smell like beer. You just smell like seltzer. It's like you haven't even been drinking. Maybe you could bang out three on your lawnmower trip and come in maybe a little tipsy.
What, am I banging the lawn or the woman? I'm getting confused with this fictional seltzer world I live in.
Well, the fact that you're confused and the lawn is an option, that's a problem. Definitely the woman. But
okay.
I want you to report back. If you have a chance, I would like you to report back.
I might have to make a video for the gram.
The gram.
Yeah.
Do you have to nickname everything?
Well, I mean, the Burls came to me from other people, but I nickname everything else.
No one ever called you that, but
I don't care what you pretty much say. So,
no, I mean, just you.
Hey, what? I worry about the feelings of a seltzer boy. I may apologize. I didn't mean to lie.
Listen, I might be a seltzer boy now. It's okay. You know, I just ordered my custom jersey that says Seltzer Boy.
Somebody Google Seltzer Boys and please tell me what comes back. I need this answer.
I hope it's some kind of big, tough gang in, like, Croatia or something like that. Like the Seltzer
Croatian
Boys.
Croatian mobsters known as the Seltzer Boys.
Correct.
Maybe it's the original name of the Dave Seltzer Band. Did you ever think of that?
Maybe. The orchestra or whatever that is. Isn't that Brian Seltzer?
That could have been. I don't know. I didn't listen to him.
Well, I mean, you are very familiar with Dave Seltzer.
Yep. Absolutely. Good guy.
What happened? Were they brothers, David and Brian?
Yeah, he was more of a bluegrass singer, Dave Seltzer. It was one of those, he juggled a couple careers in his time. I mean, he was an established mechanic. He was a line cook for a while. He toured for a couple years on the bluegrass tour, but... He never made that peak. I think he ended up in minor league baseball after that.
Gotcha. Well, I started by, before we get to a guest here, I started by saying two things are making me happy. The other thing this morning, I don't know if you saw this, but did you see the video of Shaquille O'Neal dancing in a mosh pit at an EDM concert?
I did not.
I suggest while I'm breaking this and unpacking this down, you should look at your computer screen now. Type Shaquille O'Neal at EDM show. And the joy that I get from watching this man being 4 feet higher than the rest of the audience, banging his head, moshing with kids, jumping around, getting into it. Shaquille O'Neal starting to become one of the coolest guys around. Rapper, artist, movie star, if you will, announcer, has funny nicknames for himself. He's starting to be, you know, I think he flies under the radar as being one of the coolest athletes out there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess more people concentrate on him bickering back and forth with Charles Barkley, but he's got swagger to him. He's a pretty good guy, and
no,
he's apparently going to be like a sheriff in
yep, a cop.
Florida.
Yep.
Chicago or Florida, somewhere like that.
Think about, like, so you're at this EDM festival. You're 23 years old, and you just popped a couple mollies, and you're probably tripping on Monster Energy drink. And all of a sudden, you look to the right, and you see Shaquille O'Neal coming towards you, dancing, moshing, bumping into people, with a smile on his face the whole time.
I think, even though I know it'd be petrifying, I think I'd have to take a mosh hit from Shaq to see how that feels.
100%. I would try to run into him and see what it's like. But the problem is, if you're Shaq, I feel like that's the risk you're opening yourself up to. Like, 50 freaking kids are going to think the same exact thing. Like, okay, yeah, I'm tripping my balls off. Let's run into Shaquille O'Neal as hard as possible.
Yeah, it's just a figment of my imagination. Clearly, he can't be here, so this won't hurt at all.
Yeah, it's like one of those things in the morning, you come down off your high, and the guy you thought was Shaq was just like some normal black bald guy.
Todd Bridges.
So, I don't know. I just watched like all these angles of Shaquille. Like, Shaquille O'Neal, no bodyguard in sight. I mean, how do you even have a bodyguard for Shaquille O'Neal? Like, does he have security?
I mean, I guess he's got like regular size security, but I mean, it's got to be kind of deflating a little bit. I mean, you're this big, tough, trained person,
right?
And all along, everybody's like, "Shut up, that's the real man right there."
Yeah, I think if Shaq had a security team, it would be like they'd have to get like smaller dudes, obviously, and divide up like his body parts. Like you're head of Shaq's knee security.
Like, I feel it's like those Little Rascal kind of cartoons or TV series where the security guards are in a big trench coat and they have to actually, one guy is on top of the other, so they're like 8 foot tall to make it look like they're more menacing than the person they're protecting.
I think Shaq might be the most coordinated big guy of all time.
I mean, he did create Shaq Fu. I mean, clearly that video game was based off of his martial arts prestige.
No, but all that size and that weight and the ability to, like, he always had control of his body. He was never like gangly and weird. He was just a moose his entire career. Could get up and down the floor when he was younger. You know, obviously that stopped as he
got older. We don't brag about Shaq, Suns and beyond
Celtics days. But maybe this is a new thing. Maybe he goes to EDM concerts. Maybe his new name is the Big Glow Stick. The Big Molly. Ooh, Big Molly is a good nickname. Ooh. Yeah,
but that might be dangerous. I could see some tripping kids and all licking him during the concert.
I licked Shaq, bro.
I got a taste of the Molly. It tastes like a huge fist after I licked it.
Anyway, Shaq at EDM Festival. Guys, please go look at that footage because it just makes me – it's one of those things that makes me smile. Maybe because 90% of my time going on any kind of social media now, I'm like, this is awful and worthless, and I'm tired of people complaining. If you don't smile at Shaq bumping into 50 average kids and knocking them around and laughing the entire time, there's something wrong with you. There's something
that should be the gauge to figure out who has depression.
Exactly.
You just show that, and if they're not smiling afterwards, they're like, "All right, we got to put you on some pills." I'm sorry, you stared at that directly and had no emotion.
Like, I almost want to reach out now and like find one of these kids who was at the festival and interview them. I'm not even saying Shaq. I just want to reach out and find someone who was there and be like, describe the experience, because I guarantee most of these people were under the influence of something. And then seeing Shaquille O'Neal, it had to feel like you were just imagining things.
I can't fathom how you look at a 7'6" giant and not say to yourself, I'm not in the real world right now.
I had a friend, or an ex, if I will. She went to Great Adventure one day, and Shaquille O'Neal was there, I think doing some kind of press. And he was on one of the roller coasters, like the ones where your feet hang down, kind of, like, you know.
Yeah, and like Superman. Yeah.
Like, before they took it, they're like, Shaq, you got to pick up your feet. Like, we can't close the, you know, the floor that's underneath you. Yeah, like, his feet hung down.
You could fit in one of those things.
And if you were him, why? I just wouldn't risk it. I always feel like I'm close to hitting now, and I'm a, let's see, he's 7'1", I think. So, what does that make me, 9-10 inches shorter than him? Like
about that,
I feel like I'm close now. Imagine his size 20 something foot, like clanking off of one of those, tight spirals.
Well, believe me when I say there are some older coasters down here at Six Flags over Georgia. I guarantee you he would lose a limb. That's how tight some of them are. Like, there's one coaster I love called Blue Hawk, but you literally, when they say keep your hands in the cart, you don't dare put them up because it is literally, they're going to get chopped off.
Ooh, I don't like that. I need some room. I haven't been on a roller coaster now in, I don't even remember, probably 10 years. It's been a long time since I've been on a roller coaster.
Sunday for me.
All right.
So I'm kind of in the lead. So,
what do you think? You're better than me because you went on?
Well, I do. I mean, that's just one of the reasons.
Regardless of the roller coaster.
Even if it was 10 years in a day since I've been on a roller coaster, I'd still be like, I still got the lead.
Well, I guess we'll segue from Shaq and Spike Seltzers to we're gonna get to one of our guests here tonight. You see how pompous that sounded? We contact a lot of musicians and whatnot, and have a couple people that send us interesting guests, and one of them, what the guest we're going to interview tonight, goes by the name of Jen Vix. Jen has worked with a lot of people over the years. She's worked with Adam from the Beastie Boys, and just a lot of people. She's a musician, has done a whole bunch of different things. She's also a survivor of physical abuse and whatnot, so she's very interesting and does some pretty cool music. So we're going to give her a call now and kind of talk to Jen and hear all about what she's got going on. So here, without further ado, is Jen Vix.
Bring her up.
So what's up?
Not much. What's up with you? Where are we calling you at?
Right now, I am in Newport, Rhode Island, shooting a music video for my next single that's coming out in a few weeks called Rover. And it's been kind of crazy here. We've been running around town with a very large weather balloon, which is 8 feet in diameter.
Okay.
Part of the video, or is that just what you do in Rhode Island?
No, it's actually part of the video, which mimics the 1967 television series The Prisoner from England.
Okay. Oh. So are you getting strange looks from the people of Rhode Island as you saunter through the streets with this weather balloon?
Absolutely. And from dogs as well. Dogs are really freaked out from the series. Yeah, we're getting a lot of underbite action going on here. Like, what's going on? What's that? Get it away from me, you know.
So Jen, you have been in the music game, if you will, the music business, if you will, for quite a long time now. Let's start at the beginning. Were you as a kid, were you a singer? Were you a piano player, guitar player? Where did your musicianship actually start to form?
Well, when I was 3 years old, I started playing drums in my cousin's basement on his drum kit. And I just took to it like a fish takes the water. It just was a lot of fun and it just felt right. But, you know, I come to find out there are a lot of musicians in my family. So, and especially a lot of drummers. So it just made sense that I gravitated towards drums immediately. But then I learned some piano, started noodling on it, and started writing songs when I was a kid. But then in junior high school, I joined a chorale group, and I was, you know, my music teacher trained me to sing better. And I always sang in the car and stuff. So I just had a natural, I just naturally gravitated toward becoming a musician. So then when I was a teenager in the 80s, I started going to a club called Danceteria in New York City, met some people, ended up getting into some bands, doing some shows there, and it went from there. And then, you know, I tried to be in bands, didn't work out. Everybody wanted to just be stoned all the time and not get any work done. So I was like, screw this, I'm going off on my own. And here's the irony. When I put out my first CD, you know, it was back on CD back then in the 90s, I actually got into Rolling Stone magazine, and the David Letterman show called my house back, right?
Right.
But no, this is insane. Within 3 days, my entire band quit on me because they so-called did not believe in me. So I was like, F this, I'm going solo from now on. This is it. I'm done. Right.
So I mean, that's a pretty good comeback right there. And all you're no good. Yeah, all I got is the king of late night. Sorry.
Call in my friggin' house. Exactly. Isn't that nuts? No. He said, well, we don't believe in you. We don't think you're going to do it. I said, okay, fine, bye. You know, and I just did it myself, and I got fed up. But, you know, getting musicians to back me up live has been a struggle until recently. I mean, I have people now, but it's just, it's been a friggin' struggle. It's just the one bane of my musical existence, truthfully. So, you know, thankfully that's been remedied, and I'm on the go now and doing stuff. So,
now as you've had a, you know, I've kind of scrolled through a bunch of your stuff over the last couple of weeks, checking different things out. And you've had a lot of different styles and influence. It's very hard to kind of pin down one exact thing you do. Do you look at your music from when you're talking about, like, right now in the 90s, like, you know, so you're almost 30 years later on, do you look back on it fondly? Do you still enjoy it? Or do you look now like, oh my God, I'm so much further, you know, not advanced, but just so much different than I was.
Yeah, I definitely think I've changed for sure. And you know, everybody's got their cringeworthy moments.
Of course.
I'm not particularly fond of some of the tracks on Hope Springs Nocturnal. It's just a phase I was going through. I was being very experimental at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, I think I've changed, and I've actually learned a few things. For example, I learned how to write pre-choruses. I learned how to do some proper key changes along the way. I learned how to write in different time sigs. Like, I did a song in 9/8 with Reeves Gabrels, who played with David Bowie, and now he's in The Cure.
Nice.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
You know, that was like some prog rock stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Some Tool.
But I just, thank you very much. I mean, it's just, sometimes I feel like playing funky music. Sometimes I want to play cold music. Sometimes I want to play dark music. It just depends on my mood at the time.
Yeah.
And you know what? A lot of other musicians have done this. For example, Prince did it a lot. He played a lot of different styles. You know, and I've listened to a lot of different music over the years. So it's all just a part of who I am, and I don't like to be genre boxed. I don't like to be stuck in a box. I've been called goth, which I absolutely do not like. Not that I dislike goths. Mm-hmm. I just don't identify as one at all.
Right.
I don't. I think my music is a hybrid of electronic music and rock music, and it's that. I guess that's going to stay that way because it just feels comfortable. So, yeah.
Well, reading through your profile, You had some hard upbringings. You went through a few years being homeless and surviving different abuse. How did you stay focused on kind of the dream of music, or did you have to like kind of push that away and come back to it when you were in a better spot?
Well, there were a couple of years when I was homeless on the streets of New York City. However, being that it's New York City, there are a lot of musicians there. So even when I was homeless, I would go find musicians in the park, jam with them, and sing with them. So, and I also went to the nightclubs when I was homeless. So I was actually, this is crazy, I was actually playing gigs while I was homeless.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you know, I mean, I had a few friends in Manhattan, so I would be on the streets for a few days, and then a friend would say, oh, come stay with me for a night, take a shower, yada, yada. There were times when, like, I was in Port Authority bathing in the bathroom. I would sleep in doorways. I would sleep on the subway. But sometimes I would luck out and stay with a friend. But it was really tough. But, yeah, I mean, while I did the gigs at the clubs, I was full-on homeless. I did not move back in with my family until I was 18 years old. So actually, let me think about it. I was homeless, I was homeless from 14 to 15 and a half, and then I was homeless again until I was 18.
No.
So yeah, it was off and on, but it was bad. And yeah, I am an abuse survivor. I'm a domestic violence survivor. I just don't want to give up. I've had this thing where I just don't want to give up. And I've almost died twice. Of misdiagnosed illnesses. And I still don't want to give up. I don't know. I'm just kind of just like, I'm here. Why not? Why give up? What's the point?
Now,
you know? Yeah, I guess when you go through that kind of stuff, I guess you got to keep going.
pardon my French, but I've been through a real shit show. It's like, why bother to give up when if you've been through that much? You know, domestic violence and almost dropping dead is a real shit show. I mean, I'm not in pity party mode. I don't feel sorry for myself. I just want to survive. You know, and I figure maybe if somebody checks my stuff out, they might think, hey, man, I can do that, too, because she did it. If she can survive that, I can survive anything. Right.
When did things start turning positive for you? I mean, I know you played music all this time, but when did things really maybe at least get you off the streets and into maybe a, you know, more of a schedule and you know, some home front for you?
Well, I was only homeless as a teenager, but I have, you know, had some really bad relationships. I mean, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer here, but I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I have been in situations where my life was threatened. I had an ex-boyfriend who tried to murder me. I survived that too. But I mean, you know, I've had somebody tried to murder me. Yes. Yep. I had to call the feds. Well, first I went to the local police, then I went to the state police, and they said, oh, you have to go to the FBI. So I'm sitting in a friggin' FBI office like, what the WTF city. Jeez. It was, you know, like I knew as I sat in the waiting room, there was like 10 cameras aimed at me. I mean, I don't mean to sound paranoid, but oh my God, it was crazy. Somebody put an explosive device underneath my vehicle. Turns out it was an ex-boyfriend. So, wow. By the way, he didn't go to jail. Yeah. So, you know, it's been nuts for me, man. It's been nuts. But, you know, so I've had a consistent place to live for the last 15 years. I actually, I go back and forth between Rhode Island, New York, and Boston, Massachusetts. I have three locations. My home base is now on the New York Connecticut border. Uh-huh. But you know, I have Newport, Rhode Island. My mother's house is there, and my grandmother lives in Providence, Rhode Island. Then I'm in another band in Boston. Awesome. So I'm constantly on the road. But yeah, I mean, honestly, things I would say, other than in the 1990s when I started to get some attention, but then I almost got signed, but then that fell through because there was a merger at the record label. Things have gotten stable for me musically in the last 2 years only. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've collaborated with some people in the last 5 years, but you know, between four and five years ago, I almost dropped dead. So that kind of took the wind out of my sails for a little while. But yeah, in the last 2 years, things have been good. Doing collaborations. I'm working with a great publicist. I'm playing live shows. I'm having a lot of fun. It's wonderful. I love it.
It's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's been a long, hard road, dude. Long, hard road. And still to this day, you know, sometimes I just don't get taken seriously, you know, because I'm a chick. You know, you're a woman. You play all these instruments? Yeah, I play all these instruments, man. Or they say, like, who writes your music for you? I said, me. You know, right. So, you know, when you're a woman, you also deal, you know, in my position, you deal with stuff like, you know, dick dick pics and stuff like that. Like, hey, I'd love to work with you. Hey, here, let me. Yeah, I'll put you in my magazine. Here, here's some dick pics.
Wow.
And I'm like, no, thank you.
Like it's currency.
Yeah.
No, it's nuts. Scott, you know, I wouldn't wish being a female musician on anyone really at this point. But I refuse to give up. And, you know, now I'm at the point where if I get dick pics, I just laugh it off. I'm thinking about creating, a website where I just post them.
GenVixDickPics.com.
GenVixDicks.com.
That's right. That would work. Yeah.
So, we got a new sponsor on the show this week.
Yeah, the DMs get a little freaky on Instagram.
So, I mean, I'm going through the list of some of the collaborations you did with different artists. I'm kind of, with everybody you worked with, is there somebody that we may not have heard of that you played with that you really love that, like, you think, like, wow, this person's really great and, like, somebody should look up on?
Definitely. Okay, I collaborate in a band called Positive Negative Man out of Boston. Actually, we have a gig on Saturday night in Boston. It's on it's on the Positive Negative Man Facebook page, the music page. I play with them. I think they're phenomenal. They're a great post-punk band, and I love them. I think they're amazing. And let's see, I've played with Dirk Ivens, who is an electronic rock or electro music pioneer from Belgium. So, but everybody else is, pretty well known. Like Reeves Gabrell is from Tin Machine, David Bowie's now in The Cure. I've played with John Ashton from the Psychedelic Furs. I have a band called Satellite Paradiso.
I got to ask you, growing up, I see in you in one of the descriptions we got of you, growing up as a Beastie Boys fan, you worked with Adam?
Yeah, Adam Horowitz was like pretty much like my brother when I was a teenager. I mean, the Beasties were like brothers to me. Huh. They were really great. They're great people. And Adam and Nicole Willis and I played a one-off gig at Danceteria, and he played bass for us.
Nice.
So, he's a great guy. I mean, I wish I could get in touch with him again. I'm trying to get in touch with him. I miss him. I haven't talked with him in a long time. So, yeah.
Now, did you know MCA too, or?
I knew all of them. Yeah. They were like brothers to me.
Hard to believe he's been gone for that long already.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's
2012.
That was a really painful day for me and for a lot of my friends. That was damn rough. Damn rough.
Yeah, like if you were to tell me that was 7 years ago, it does not even close to that, you know?
I know.
So,
well, he's still very much a part of our, our lives. He's in our hearts and minds. He's with us always, He's never going to be forgotten. So, yeah.
So, Jen, tell us about this, shifting on. Tell us about this EP.
Well, this EP is sort of a concept album and sort of not. As you know, I'm a huge fan of the television series The Prisoner from 1967 from England. It's been a huge part of my life since I was a preteen. And I just love the messages in it. I love the message of independent thought, not kissing the man's ass. Thinking for yourself. So I rolled with it. And, it's this one is not, I would say it's not as heavy as Unlocked. Unlocked was an album, it was an EP I recorded right after I almost died. So this is kind of like, hey, I'm alive. Let me have a little bit of fun with it, and do some cosplaying and shit like that. Right. So, it's just a little different. It starts with a pop song, and I got to play an alien in the music video, and I get to abduct a human being back to my spaceship, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's different. It's not as heavy duty as the last one. Not as intense.
Nice.
And,
is that going to be up on, Spotify and all?
Oh, it's already there. It's been there for 2 months now.
Okay. Yeah, I think I heard
that. Everywhere.
What's the...
Oh, God, the video's on YouTube, Spotify, everything is everywhere. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, with all the work that you've done so far, as you've been saying, you really don't like doing the same thing twice. what do you think have you given thought to your next album's voice, how it might change, whether it be the message or the style of music you're going to look for?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure yet. I guess it just depends on what I'm feeling at the moment. I will say this. I do have quite a strange thing coming up. Well, two things. Okay, John Ashton. There's some more weirdness coming up because, you know, people can expect some weird from me. It's par for the course.
That's okay.
I have a collaboration. I have a collaboration track with John Ashton coming out at the end of the summer. We're doing a cover of Natural One by Folk Implosion. So that's going to come out at the end of the summer. And then I have, this is really strange. I'm going into the, how do I describe this?
I don't know. I like how you're prepping yourself to tell us what you're doing.
Yeah. That's why we know we got a good story coming up.
This is going to shock some of my fans. I have an electronic rock / country and western track coming out.
Wow.
And but here's the really weird thing, okay? I wrote the song in 2007, mm-hmm. right? And that, you know how like that's a thing now? Like Miley Cyrus is doing country electronica and Lil Nas X.
I was just about to say, he's the biggest thing in the world right now.
Right, but I wrote this song in 2007. It's like I knew it was coming. I'm like, okay, this is the time for me to strike. Might as well put it out. So it's a track called Dusty, and it's sort of in the vein of like Lee Hazelwood. It's like 1960s country mixed with electronic music. So the song is called Dusty, and Kenny Vaughn, the guitar player from Marty Stewart and the Superlatives, is going to play guitar on it.
Nice.
So from, you know, the Marty Stewart show. Now, I know nobody in their right mind would expect me to do that.
Jen's going to take her horse to the...
That's right.
Yeah, all right.
So we're going to do that because it's fun. It's a very fun thing to do.
I think as an artist, especially in these days where you don't need... You don't need anyone to really like. You can, if you try hard enough, you can get stuff out to different people. I mean, you should be throwing anything against the wall these days. I mean, there's no reason, you know, whether it's a podcast, your art, your personal art, singing, whatever you have, you know, you can connect directly to the consumer. So it's like somebody's out there, you know. So there's no reason. No one's telling you what to do. You know, like.
Yeah.
So
I don't, you know, I'm independent. I mean, I wouldn't mind being signed to a good label that respects my creativity. If that happens, if I get a good deal, I'll take it. But I mean, I turned down a few deals in the 1990s because they couldn't give me anything that CD Baby, you know, was giving me at the time. And I actually made more money being an independent artist than being on a label. Now,
I believe
here's my beef section of the interview. I think streaming is fantastic for the listener, but as a musician, streaming sucks. I lost 98% of my income because of streaming.
No.
So like last month, you know, last month, 1 week I got a check for $28. If that was iTunes, it would have been about $30,000 in income for me. So imagine going from $30,000 in income to $28.
I mean, you're balling.
So that's why I branched out and I started a music management company, and I'm working in, you know, I edit music videos. I do stuff on the side.
You
I
have to.
Because, you know, when you're not signed and you're paying for your own publicity out of your own pocket, even though it's tax deductible, it's rough, man.
I understand. You have to diversify now. Like, I don't know. You know, just working in comedy, I don't know one, you know, I barely know any comics that do not do something else. Do not edit videos, do not make sketches, do not help a production company, whatever it is. You know, they're always diversifying themselves because you have to do it. It's a double-edged sword.
Even the rich and famous. even the rich and famous are diversified right now. Look at Jeffree Star, the cosmetics guy. You know,
absolutely.
The YouTuber. He's not just a cosmetics company owner. He owns property. He has his marijuana business, you know, in California. You can't put all your eggs in one basket anymore. You just can't do it. And then, you know, the way to make money really as a musician these days is playing gigs and through merch.
Yep.
Sell a lot of merch. So I'm going to get into some merch pretty soon too.
Awesome.
So that's the plan.
Jen, it's awesome to hear. I love the we love talking to creative people, and you certainly are that, and you are also a survivor. So
thank you.
It's very inspiring to listen to you. So thank you for giving us a few minutes on the show. If people are interested in checking you out, where is the best place to either, you know, either see you on social media or check out your music or all of the above? What's the best place to go?
Well, all you have to do is type my name into Google. You'll find Spotify. You'll find my Facebook page, my Twitter, my Instagram. I'm all over the place. So I'm everywhere. I'm on every social media platform except for Snapchat. And that might change soon. I don't know. I have to think about it. But, awesome. You know, I also have my domain, GenVix. I have GenVix. Wait, let me see. I haven't been on it for a while. Hold on. Let's see. GenVix.band. GenVix.band. So
awesome.
You can also go there. So,
Jen, thanks so much, and really good luck with the EP, the videos, your country music, whatever you got going. Good luck with everything, and thanks for the chat.
Good luck holding on to weather balloons in Rhode Island.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on, and I hope I haven't talked your friggin' head off.
Oh, no.
It's a pleasure.
That's what we do.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no.
Thanks so much. You know, I said this once before, too, that I used to have a really bad comedy bit about this. It was never very good. I think I only did it at like Tierney's like three times, or Scotty's, or one of them when I very first started. But I used to talk about how country, especially country the way it is today, you know, we're not talking like Johnny Cash country. We're talking like the pop country that is today, and rap are so close. Just the way the songs are structured, like one's, you know, one, they kind of like brag how poor they are. The other, they just brag how rich they are, you know? And like now it's funny because you see these lines blurring more and more and more. And then you get like this Little Nas X guy, who just every kid is just bumping this silly song. It's so funny how things kind of, you know, you can almost see something coming. It just took one, you know, one thing to happen. And I guarantee.
So when they merge together, their songs are about having adequate wages. That's about
I'm
it.
I'm making decent living. I'm kind of happy.
I got a couple bucks in my savings account. Yeah, yeah.
I invested in a very secure IRA. But
I'm saving up to buy a new Chevrolet.
GenVix, everybody. All right. GenVix, everybody. GenVix. I wonder if she likes Spike Seltzer.
Is this going to be the new pineapple pizza thing, Scott? Where you're going to find out 80% of the people don't like it and then give up on the bid after two people say yes?
A couple people have said yes, though. A couple surprises have said yes. I'm trying to think of someone recently. Who was it that we were like pretty surprised and liked? I don't know. I'd have to look back at the episodes. But no, I don't know. No bits. We don't have any bits. But GenVix, everybody. GenVix. Brother, what you got going on?
Well, before I get into the story time, as you requested, Scott, out of curiosity, what is the weirdest animal you found in your house, and any previous houses where...
For a second, I think, man, what's the weirdest animal you found attractive?
Oh, armadillo, no doubt.
Remember Wayne's World? Is it weird that they find Bugs Bunny attractive anytime she dressed like a woman? Underrated movie right there. Great movie. Weirdest animal I found in my house... well, considering I've been here for 3 days, nothing yet. But in my old house, I think cave crickets were kind of the, as far as the weirdest I
Okay, that's a decent one. Yeah, I remember those things.
They were awful. And funny you say that. Last night here, hold on one second. Why am I getting some weird sound? Last night here, I'm out taking Obi out to the bathroom, and I just, I hear like something just got killed in the tree that's on my yard. So far I've puked in the yard and heard something definitely get murdered, but it sounded like a squirrel or something getting eaten or something was... Something definitely died last night is what I'm saying. But
every time you move into a new place, Burlew, something died here.
Well, Tuesday night, I felt like it was me that was going to be the one. But I guess cave crickets would probably be the answer to that question.
Okay. Well, I know previously on the show I talked about my great bat adventure where I came out of the bathroom and there was a bat flying around the house and I was banging on my parents' bedroom to save me. But
I had the bat adventure too that one time where I had to try to throw blankets on it.
Yeah. So last night... having trouble to sleep. It's like 11:30, close to midnight at night. And the wife is kind of in and out of sleep, and I'm struggling to try to get some. So I got the lights turned off, and I'm trying to get comfortable in the bed. And then at some point, I feel this on my cheek. And as I put it on Facebook, it felt clammy, but the best way I could say the feeling, it was kind of like rubber cement hit my cheek for some reason. And it was a very awkward feeling. So I'm like, what the hell? And I try to brush it off and I could feel whatever it was jump off of me.
Really? Okay.
So I'm like, what the hell? And I turn on the light and there's a frog now on my dresser drawer.
No, the frog jumped on your face?
The frog jumped on my face. I don't know, one, how it got in. Jeez. Two, how it got in where it was in my bedroom. Three, got into my bedroom on my bed, not get trampled at any point, and then jump on me.
Wow. So, okay, so let's unpack this. Was your initial reaction like a freak out or just pure confusion?
I would probably say a little confusion. I was not freaked out at all. The wife kind of was. Like, I looked at it, I was almost laughing. And I'm like, because, hey, you know, frog ain't going to do anything to you. So I'm like, there's a frog in the bedroom. And the wife kind of just started, like, panicking. Not even on... The weird thing was she panicked, not in the sense that there was a frog in the bedroom, but her thought process was, if there's a frog in the bedroom, other animals got into the bedroom. Somehow it got to the point where she asked, why is it there's a copperhead in the bedroom?
That was your opportunity to be like,
and it was one of those things when you don't have... Go ahead, sorry.
No, so that's your opportunity to be like, there's only one copperhead in this bedroom, baby.
Well, no, I was dead tired. It was, like you said, it was like midnight where I'm like, I don't have time to explain to you why a copperhead is not in our bedroom currently right now. So I had to go into the... I went into the kitchen and we had an old... plastic container once for wonton soup, and I looked for the frog, and at first I moved I saw it go behind a picture frame, and I moved the picture frame and it wasn't there, so I look behind the dresser drawer and it's nowhere to be found. And the weird thing I didn't know they could do, apparently they could like hang on to the sides of stuff, because I saw the damn frog hanging on the side of a picture frame we had on the side of the dresser drawer.
What size are we talking here? Like, if you had
not big at all. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm talking about like a little baby, or maybe not baby, but like nothing where it's not like a toad where it'd be the size of your palm. It was like literally like a speck on the cheek, if you will.
That is random, man.
Yeah, and so I
hope this story ends with you calling your parents.
No. I didn't. My dad did not get tortured by me calling, Dad, I caught a frog. Dad, what am I going to do with it?
Get over here now.
I took a picture of it at the bottom of this wonton soup container. And then I went to the door and let the little guy loose. And he's free out in the world to jump on other people's beds.
What if, like, a week from now, a story comes out in Georgia about the face frog that's been, like, like just sneaking into people's places, and all of a sudden you notice, like I don't know, like a weird tick, or like you got hair growing in places you never knew you had on your face, like under your eyes, and all of a sudden
it's like Creep Show,
right?
Like a week later, why am I turning scaly? What the
exactly?
What's going?
So what if that happens? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say?
Just live the life of the Jersey Georgia Frogman, I guess. I mean,
the Jersey Georgia Frogman.
Yeah, I'm the freaking Burrows. I can pull off pretty much anything. I feel I could make that work too.
Wow. The amount of nicknames and titles you have from this show has grown like exponentially over the years. Snake Milker, now the Jersey Georgia. What was it? The Jersey Georgia Frog Face?
Yeah. Rolls off your tongue.
It is like harmony. It sounds amazing.
Don't worry, Scott. When we get the T-shirts and they're selling like hotcakes, you'll understand the madness.
I'm picturing you like turning into a frog in anguish, like some of your body's starting to get scaly and like your shirt's ripping and you're just becoming the Jersey Georgia Frogman.
Kind of like the Fly.
Yeah. But what if like only like in New Jersey you were normal, but as soon as you started driving towards Georgia, you turn into Frogman. So you have to
kind of like a werewolf with a full moon. I got you.
Right. But a werewolf based on location. So you can never like once you cross the Mason-Dixon line, you become like a frogman.
Sadly, I feel I would fit in more in that scenario.
So
they would just like, yes, this works and all. Have you tried Florida?
I feel like in Florida, no one would say a word because you're just like, it's just a frogman.
Yeah. Scott, I turned into a frogman, and I'm now the governor of Florida. It all happened in one day. I don't know how.
Frogman. This podcast has gone off the rails. Today has been a lot of nonsense. I like it. Well, I mean, that is weird, though. I don't know how I would react. I think I told the story, but it was a while ago. I'm not good with rodents. I don't like rodents. I don't like mice. I don't like rats, obviously. But I in our last two places ago, we basically had like a studio cottage, I guess you can call it.
Okay.
We used to do the podcast there. You know the place. But one night, a couple nights, it would be me, the dog, and the wife, or the girlfriend / fiance at the time. And we were laying in bed, and I would just hear the dog's bowl, like, clink, 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 like the dog's bowl, like, kind of move around. And I'd check, and the dog was right next to me. I'm like, oh, God. And, like, even Alex said, oh, I thought I saw a mouse. The one that I'm like, a mouse? And, like, I was like, I'm not getting off the bed. And I'm like, oh, God. And she's like, don't worry about it. She's like, it's just a little stupid mouse. I'm like, I can't deal with this mouse situation. And like the whole night, I'm just sitting there thinking like, shit. And then I would hear it like clink, clink. And I'm like, just trying to like close my eyes and go to sleep. But I'm picturing what just happened to you happening with a mouse, like a mouse crawling on my face. And that would be just over. I would just, that would just be the end for me.
Like you would just like get to the roof and just jump off. It's like, I can't live anymore.
I don't know what I would do. I just don't like rodents that much. Like I had a snake crawl between my toes when I was mowing the lawn once. And I told that story, but long story short, I was mowing the lawn. I had sandals on, dumb move, but I was mowing and a snake crawled between my toes. And I freaked out. I would freak out less than I think like a mouse landing on my face.
Okay. Mouse goes on your face. but you're going to turn into Master Splinter. Do it or don't.
I'm going to say don't, because I don't know what is Splinter's life like. Is he like, no,
he runs the Ninja Turtles. Your whole life you're going to have four of the biggest badass mutants doing whatever you say because they think you're enlightened.
I mean, that's cool and all, but I mean, I feel like all of a sudden right away I'm becoming a father figure. Imagine stepping into a relationship where you're not just one stepchild, you have four step turtles.
They just think that you raise them and all that, so you don't have to be that good of a father. I mean, you could turn evil if you wanted. You can have them like rob banks and stuff. Nobody's going to stop them. They're the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I don't know. And immediately I'm thinking I have to live in the sewer now. Like, yeah, Mr. Splinter might have been pretty cool, but he's old. He's kind of hobbly. He's probably pretty arthritic at this point.
Well, hold up. You don't need to have to live in the sewers. I mean, you got that new house. I'm sure you could put the four turtles in your podcast room, and you can still go to bed with your wife and sleep it off there.
So you think my wife is that accepting, or she would just take me as this big rat man and cuddle
when they
up?
They said better or worse. They knew what they were talking about in those rounds.
So I know I have a beard and all, and she's probably used to that, like kind of pressing on it, you know, when we spoon or cuddle. But all of a sudden, I'm one giant beard. I'm a giant rat and, like, curling up on her. Meanwhile, my tail is flopping between me and the dog. You think she's going to just accept that, no problem?
I mean, if it's true love, Alex, I mean, that's how it works, right? In any scenario, it's true love, so you can't change your mind no matter what.
All right, so you're saying right now if you went upstairs from this podcast as a giant rat person, Izzy would just be like, hey, no problem. Come on in bed, rat boy.
I'd just go, hey, honey.
I was going to say, if you were a mouse, she'd be fine.
Yeah, things might get weird after that. I got to be honest with you.
Things might get better for you if you turn into a rat boy.
Yeah, that is true. And I guess to your point, if you if it doesn't work out, then you got to move again. And that, we already been through that earlier in this episode.
Yeah. Like, imagine me, like, trying to shimmy couches down a manhole. Oh, no, wait, not a manhole. What did they change it to the other day?
I heard the story. I don't know what they changed stuff to. Is it a person cover?
Something, it's something ridiculous like that.
A street hole?
Yeah.
That somehow sounds worse than
I know.
Manhole.
I know.
I just see you sweating and all, drinking some alcoholic seltzer, trying to get Ninja Turtles to get your stuff down.
Can you put down the pizza and pick up the couch?
Oh, Master Scotty.
You know how hard it is to move, like, furniture into a house. Like, I feel like no matter where I've lived, furniture just doesn't quite fit. Like, it's always just, like, trying to get it into doorways and this and that. Imagine getting it into a sewer.
Well, I remember, like, when I was with an ex and she got a free couch, like, the dimensions were so weird. I literally remember I had to pick up fully the couch in the air and kind of put it on a diagonal. Like, literally, I had to bring it down, like, a 70-degree angle through the door just to get it in. And I just told her, I'm like, under this thing burns, it ain't coming out of this house. You understand me?
It's almost like they need to make things like everything a standard. Like, all doorways must be this. All the, you know, like, so all furniture would follow suit. But, Berlo, before we get out of here, I think it, you know, we've been getting email after email after email, fan mail, if you will, digital fan mail, and people just saying how McMillan Island really inspired them, how, they saw the Top Gun 2 trailer and they were excited, but that, you know, they thought it didn't hold a candle to McMillan Island. First off, Top Gun 2 trailer had no expectations at all. And if you told me Top Gun 2, I would have kind of laughed. Trailer, to me, looked pretty damn good.
Looked good. It looked good.
Whoever cut that trailer did a nice job.
Yeah, I think whoever cut the trailer was a professional, and he said, all right, we can't F around. This is already a joke in people's minds, so we got to make it look as awesome as humanly possible. I will say out loud, I'm a little concerned that it looks a lot like the old movie, where they might just be like, all right, this is what we did in the 80s, so let's just tweak it to 2019 and we're good.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe the trailer just does that. Maybe they just sprinkle all in the things that we like and we're like, I'm in, and then the story's different, hopefully. I think everyone is going to reprise their role. I think even Val Kilmer will somehow be involved. Something I saw said maybe he died or something like that, and that funeral thing they were at was his. Who knows? But Tom Cruise, man, he's still a threat to all women. He looks like he's 35 years old.
I mean, say what you want. The guy's kooky as hell, but Scientology's working with him. He's still pretty stacked looking. He's freaking hanging out of airplanes for Mission Impossible movies.
Apparently he did a lot of the flight stunts. Apparently he learned how to fly for this.
Really?
Yes. Apparently a lot of the flight stunts are him.
Maybe he called up his buddy Travolta. He owns his own plane, so.
Yeah, I think Scientology would get more people if they opened up like spas, like where women are like going to look young, and they just have pictures of these guys hanging on the wall, because whatever they're doing is working. Like, some desperate girl would definitely go get a manicure and be like, well, you know what? Screw it. If I look like that, I'm in. I'm a Scientologist now.
Absolutely. Call me Maverick.
But yeah, I was impressed by that trailer. I'm not usually blown away by stuff like that anyway, like a nostalgia kind of stuff, but it was pretty damn good. Burloom. What are we doing today? Are we reading one specifically, or do I get to pick? What do we got?
Right. Your choices will be Snow, Lost in Space, or My Friend Blackie.
All right. Well, I got to go right away. My Friend Blackie. Okay. One. Hopefully it's.
Yeah, I pre-read it. Believe me, I pre-read it before giving it as an offer.
Our audience,
even I said, wait a minute.
Our audience in Georgia is like, I love that story when I was a kid.
He's a frog man and he talks our language. Perlu 2024.
All right, so just so you know, this is a story, a journal, if you will, from Burlew when he's in fifth grade or something like that. Last week we read a thrilling story of McMillan Island. Today we're going to read My Friend Blackie.
Yep, and just to show you, Scott, I got a smiley face good for this story, so you know it's magic.
All right, well, it's going to be hard to top the words of McMillan Island, so...
My Friend Blackie.
Ooh, I like how you're clearing your reading voice. You're getting deep here.
I'm getting to the story. I have a new friend, and he comes in my yard every day. It is a blackbird, and I call him.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
He has black feathers, big yellow beak, and big shiny black eyes. Every morning after breakfast, I put food in the bird feeder, like breadcrumbs, fat, and bird seed.
Wait, fat was the second one?
Yes. And wait, I'm going to double down on this. When I go inside, Blackie flies in the feeder and starts eating his favorite thing first, and that's the fat.
wait, what?
Yeah.
Breadcrumbs, fat, and what was the last ingredient?
Breadcrumbs, fat, and bird seed.
So in your mind, this is what birds eat? Breadcrumbs and fat? And
they just eat steak gristle. That's all they do.
And then he just goes inside the bird feeder and just feasts up.
Yeah, fat. That's what happens. That's what fifth grade Burlew thinks, there, my friend.
Blackie, you savage.
Then he takes off after he eats the breadcrumbs. He waits in the tree every morning for me till I fill the feeder again. Sometimes he chirps and other birds come to eat, like blue jays, robins, snowbirds, and cardinals. Someday I hope he will like me enough and come and eat food out of my hands. And that, my friends, is the quick story of my friend Blackie.
Your teacher was definitely just like, good, like, oh, holy crap, this kid is disturbed.
Yeah. Wait. So your homework assignment tonight, I have to drink the seltzers. You got to get a bunch of meat fat and put it outside.
And breadcrumbs.
Black birds just show up.
I like how even back then you're still looking for approval from you're hoping that Blackie will come hang out with you if you lure him in with
hi, body
fat.
Want some chicken fat?
No, do you read that? When you read that, do you have any recollection of this at all?
Zero.
That's awesome.
Like I said, literally when I saw the heading, I'm like, what in the blue? And I had to read. But I only read like a couple parts. I'm like, all right, it's about a blackbird. Nothing weird happens after that.
Yeah, it's not about your friend Tyrone that came and eat the fat in the backyard or something like that. Wow. Wow. My friend Blackie, way better than McMillan and I.
Yeah. My heart's still with McMillan Island, but my friend Blackie was a nice touch there.
I wonder if that was based on any kind of truth or this was one of the characters you created in your head.
I will say when I was younger, we had a squirrel that came up and would eat out of our hand. So hence, I can understand me wanting Blackie to eat out of my hands.
Right. Did you feed the squirrel fat and breadcrumbs?
I'm guessing nuts, but I don't recall fat. I had a feeling that I only allowed one page. I'm like, I need a small word in here. Yeah, fat. Give my bird fat. You know why? Because it's his favorite thing, Scott. It sounds weird, but then when I clarify he eats his favorite thing first, which is the fat, then it makes sense.
I pray there's someone listening right now that is like an artist that has a lot of free time on their hand, and they can animate you, Blackie, eating fat as you look longingly for his approval. wow. I got to say, tremendous story. Tremendous story, young Michael Berlew. Berlew, it's time to go. This has been one of the most random nights, I got to say. We've had some really interesting conversation here. So,
yeah, we went around today. We went all around the world.
Yeah, we so that's just what kind of happens each week. So you never know. Berlew, anything to promote?
Since it was just his birthday, go to, if you haven't watched the movie yet, ConTruthMovie.com, or go on to Amazon.com and look up A Convenient Truth. Our good friend Don Bagnano made this wonderful, hilarious mockumentary about a person who's running campaigns talking about how to improve the world using illegal aliens to ride on bikes to give energy for this world. And this is pre-2016, everybody. So check out our buddy's movie here. You can go to his website, which is Con Truth Movie. That's ContruthMovie.com. Or you can look it up on Amazon.com. Order it. Enjoy it.
All right. I'm going to promote someone that's been with us for forever, in a way. And that is, it's a restaurant here in New Jersey, located in Jefferson, New Jersey, also where we happen to host the Verbal Shenanigans comedy shows.
Do they serve fat, Scott?
They serve breadcrumbs and fat. It's actually called the Blackie Special. But they've treated us well from the beginning. They let us host our shows there. We've had amazing relationships with them. And best of all, they have amazing food and drinks and beer and just a great place to go. And that is Tap House 15 in Jefferson. They were just voted top 10 bars in all of New Jersey, and they certainly deserve it. So I'll give it over for Tom and Tina and them over at Tap House 15. Guys, it's time to go. I know we have been off the rails here tonight, but I enjoyed talking to you, and I enjoyed talking to Mike, who Before you know it, might not be able to do this cast because of publishing his stories and raging success. So
it's going to happen, man.
Let's enjoy him while he's here.
Disney hears about my friend Blake.
Let's enjoy him while he's here. So, guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Adios. Bye-bye. Oh, and thanks, Jen Vicks. Adios.
Thanks, Jen.